Yo, 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 what is going on, gang? It is another beautiful Sunday here, and welcome to the Straight Shooters Podcast. Happy Daylight Savings Day. Seasonal depression is officially over. Happy Oscar Day to all my movie fans out there. And happy Champ Week, because this is where the fun gets going. I'm joined here with three of my best friends. We've got the generational hater, Matthew Stern. Welcome to the show.
What's going on? How we doing?
Doing well. We've got the mid-major guru, Zach Reynolds. And
Thanks for
we.
having me, Tyler.
Yep. And we have the birthday man himself. He celebrated his 24th birthday yesterday. Mr. Fundamental, Mike Erickson. Do anything fun for the birthday, sir?
Yeah, I watched the cats die. But
Anything
thanks
else?
for having me. Excited to be here.
Anything else fun?
No.
Fair enough. All right. It is Champ Week. 1 week away from a bracket officially. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on. We have four teams already in the bracket. We've got Drake pulling off a great win over Indiana State today. We've got Stetson in the A-Sun Masterclass, which was easily the most fun tournament of the week so far. Jalen Blackman, 43 points to win it for Stetson today. We've got Morehead State. And we have Longwood. I mean, who wouldn't love to see Morehead versus Longwood in a round of 16 matchup? Could be fun. But yeah, awesome week of college hoops. Zach, I'll hit you up with this question first. Give me your best game of the week. Why? There's a lot of them.
Yeah, you already presented it. The A-Sun tournament has been awesome and kind of out of nowhere. It wasn't a great conference. I guess there were a few competitive teams. I read an ESPN article last week, and all four experts picked either Lipscomb or Eastern Kentucky, and both of them were out in the quarters, which I think is part of the fun of March. And the North Alabama Lipscomb game was unbelievable, back and forth kind of the whole way. North Alabama was up, Lipscomb came back. Lipscomb hit a crazy three with about 6 seconds left. And then KJ Johnson hit a game-winning shot, buzzer beater, length of the court, ran the length of the court, pulled up, hit a buzzer beater. And adding to it a little bit is he was a Lipscomb transfer. They said, "We don't have a spot for you here. Go play on North Alabama, who's not quite as good." And then he knocked him out of the conference tournament. Unfortunately, North Alabama could not beat Damarion Sharp and Austin Peay, who then lost to Stetson. So just a wild tournament, and that was probably the most wild game. Also want to give a shout out to Damarion Sharp. He won't be talked about going into March because they lost to Stetson, but this kid leads Austin Peay in points, rebounds, blocks, assists, and steals. Is shooting 6.4% from three. He's only taken 16 threes all year and still scores 17.2 a game. I don't know if he was born to play in the 80s, but just some unbelievable stats from a bench player for Austin Peay.
Yeah, and this ASUN tournament, I was looking at the bracket earlier. There was one game. I think there was two, four on this next day, two more, one. So there's nine games total. One game was decided by more than 10 points. The rest of them were decided by 6 points or less. You had one game into overtime, and all the other games decided by 6 points or less, besides one game that was 11. I mean, that's March. Take all the games in one conference tournament, just terrible teams and crazy basketball.
Yeah, and it's nice that there was no good team that should have won this league. There was no McNeese, there was no Grand Canyon, because if they lose, then it's a shame. But yeah.
Fun stuff. My game of the week is Tuesday night, Illinois, Purdue. Illinois went up, I think it was eight at halftime. Shannon had two fouls. They were looking like you go up 8 points at home without your best player in the first half, and then Purdue just showed why they're great. Ended up coming back. Illinois cut it to 3 points in the last minute, and then Purdue banged a three, and that was all she wrote. Purdue's a top three team in the country, whatever you want to rank it, and it was just an awesome game. Two top 15 teams, top three team on the road. But shout out to all of Tuesday night. There was buzzer beaters, put back dunks, just whatever you want to do. Tuesday night was awesome. Mike, what was your game of the week?
I'll go with Houston absolutely violating Kansas at home.
Yeah, good one.
I want to shout out Houston because everyone was, before the season saying Houston's in a Mickey Mouse conference, all this bullshit, they don't play any good teams and they go into the best conference in college basketball and just run train on everyone, including Kansas, who people thought were infallible until recently. Yeah, love the Cougars. Wish they could play every game at home. Worst place to play imaginable.
Yeah, I mean, you say it best. Throw the Lakers in there, they might lose by 20. So, let's see. Matthew, round us off. Best game of the week.
I'm gonna go to San Diego State versus Boise from Friday night. Looked like a spot for San Diego State to get back on track. They saw themselves squander multiple opportunities to really put the game away. They had a 10-point lead with 10 minutes remaining, and then at the end of regulation, you saw Roddy Anderson tie the game up at the end of regulation, and then Max Rice made just one of the craziest threes I've ever seen in overtime from like the logo as the shot clock was winding down, and could be a huge win for them. I think, Zach, you can kind of fact check me on this. They're in the field at the moment. You would say Boise's pretty comfortably in
Yeah,
after that win.
Boise, that win like locked them. They were in before that. That'll be a 8-9 seed probably.
Right. So, I think you can pretty clearly put Boise State in the field now. And I think, if you're San Diego State, obviously you can still say you're equally as talented defensively as you were last year, but I really think they're missing a point guard, somebody that can go get a bucket. They miss Matt Bradley a lot, and we'll see how that translates come tournament time. But Ladie is an All-American. He's probably going to be on the All-American first team, I would assume. He's that good, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean they have three good guards in Parrish, Butler, and Treadwell, but let's see what they can do in March. Butler hit the big shot, so he's proven he could be there last year. All right, moving on. We got a lot of feedback this week from some of our fans, and this was clearly the segment that people liked the most. Idiot of the week. Keyword: don't be an idiot. Don't be dumb. A lot of dumb stuff happens in college basketball. A lot of it. But, idiot of the week, here we go. Zach, what was yours?
I'm going to defer and let Sharon go first, and then you can come back to me. I have to gather my thoughts.
Right, yeah, I would love to start. Whatever the fuck you want to call the Pacific men's basketball team. I mean, Jesus Christ. That shit, what was that? 50, what was that, a 50-point game at half? Like, I understand that you're not a very good basketball team, but there's a huge difference between a bad basketball team and being down 50 at half versus the number 309 team in the country, according to KenPom. Like, have some shame, please. Like, IUPUI is not going out there against Pepperdine and losing by 50. Like, maybe they'll lose by 20, but they are not down 50 at half.
And
It's
just be,
just not happening.
yeah, just to give some context, Pepperdine was 13 and 19 on the year.
Oh my God,
They were up
Jesus.
56 to 9 at halftime. And then 2 days later, they lost to San Diego. Pacifics was terrible. My idiot of the week, and I know we talked about court storming before, but we need to have a serious discussion. If you're going to court storm, it needs to be a serious court storm. Utah State. At home, yes, I get they won their conference outright in the regular season, but they were a ranked team at home, got the win, and then stormed the court against an unranked team. In New Mexico, yes, they were fighting for their season, but everyone was wearing these blue gloves in the stands. They were all going crazy, and everyone stormed the court after they won, but act like you've been there before. Don't be an idiot. I get you won your conference regular season, but that doesn't mean anything. You're still a six seed. You're not very good relative to the grand picture of everything. And don't storm the court. Act like you've been there before and be a real true fan. That's it for Stuart Cormans. Mike, idiot of the week.
Can we bring Jay Billis in next week for his thoughts on court storming?
Yeah, he wants to arrest all of Utah. That's fine with me. Get the firing squad going for the state of Utah.
I saw Sister Jean was on the court at the Loyola Chicago game. We should have her put behind bars as well. She shouldn't be on the court either.
I mean, all those security guards at the Colgate game today looked like Sister Jean.
Useless.
Yeah. Mike, what was yours?
Kyle Neptune. He is finding new ways to embody the term idiot. He tried his best to ruin my birthday, and I'll never forgive him. I don't want to be too harsh because he's still a new coach, but I would say generally, if you're watching the shot clock get under 5 seconds on every single possession and you're not scoring at the end, there's probably something wrong, Kyle. And his solution was not to change anything basketball-wise. He was just subbing the same sorry bench players out for each other, expecting something different to happen. And eventually we get back in that game, but I don't believe it was because of anything that he did at all.
What was the mood in the Wells Fargo Center? Was it exciting? Like, were people into it when that comeback happened, or was it still just, what is going on here and we're going to lose?
No, dude, it was so sorry. And I was actually losing my mind because Villanova has, like, all this, like, cult bullshit where it's like a fucking pep rally. And then they open the game off losing 21-3 versus fucking Creighton at home. And everyone's, like, depressed. Like, what did you think was going to happen? They suck.
Hey, that was their season on the line. But we'll see. Yeah. Joe Lunardi still has him in, so God bless.
Joe Lunardi can go fuck himself.
Zach, round us off.
Yeah, my idiot of the week is the UNC Asheville Bulldogs. Not really sure what the mindset was going into the game today, but you're 12-4 in conference. You have, you know, the player of the year back-to-back years in June Pember. He's also an idiot for staying. I don't know what he was thinking. And then you go out and get boat raced by a Longwood team that's 6-7 in conference. All right, that's horrible. Longwood, they're fine. They've been okay the last few years, but 6-10 of the conference. They just pulled off a huge upset yesterday to knock off High Point. And then Asheville had a cakewalk into the tournament yet again. Another, you know, year where they're a scary 14 or 15 seed. And when they got boat raced, Pember had 14 points, which is, you know, near a season low. I don't know if it's the coach's fault. I don't know who doesn't wake the players up for that game, but that's idiot of the week. On a team level is Asheville, because, again, they had a cakewalk into the tournament, and they lost by 30. And then Kyle Filipowski and Duke, that whole atmosphere is idiot of the week. You have now got swept by UNC. John Shire had to apologize. Kyle Filipowski, who people, you know, started to give some sympathy after he was court storms, tripped Harrison Ingram in the middle of the court. Classic.
You can take Grayson Allen out of Duke, but you can't take the it's so bad.
Yeah, you can't take the fucking soft white guy out of Cameron Indoor. Then, you know, just getting shit on relentlessly by UNC players. I mean, it has to be demoralizing. I haven't seen anything like that.
Kyle Filipowski is the best feel-good story since DeMar Hamlin. He had his leg amputated, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and then imagine if DeMar Hamlin came out and, like, you know, in front of everyone.
And was playing the next week. Like,
you kind of take it all away. So, yeah, that's idiot of the week. Your coach having to apologize to the Cameron crazies. I mean, I don't know what goes on down there, but that's horrible. It's just a horrible look. It doesn't bode well going into the tournament.
Not one bit. And I was high on Duke, but, yeah, that sucks.
I think Duke's in trouble. I think, you know, those guards, they're really young. And if you get a team like UNC that's all veterans and Cormac Ryan having the game of his life, they're, you know, we'll see. Yeah. But
you wonder if it's a team like Purdue last year, now that I'm thinking.
Yeah, very similar.
They have a lot of talent, good big men. Mark Mitchell, Filipowski, Proctor, they came back. But Roach, Proctor, McCain, Caleb Foster, like, maybe they're just too young and might get bounced early because –
Something ironic about the most Duke player of all time, Cormac Ryan, ending their ACC hopes.
That's a good point. He's 25 years old at this point, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you could see him wearing Duke uniform. Like, he definitely kind of embodies it. And
maybe we'll come back for a seventh year.
Caleb Love, also, who they hate, beat them earlier in Cameron with Arizona. It's just like they were just everyone's bitch this year.
Yeah. and Wake Forest's. But yeah. All right, moving on. Bad beat of the week. Betting sucks, but we all still do it. And there's a lot of tough losses. Mine, didn't bet the game, but was sitting there watching. I knew, I think it was Wednesday night, Tennessee was favored by 5.5 against South Carolina. Shot goes up. South Carolina in an absolutely meaningless shot with 2-3 seconds left. Three-pointer. Misses. Bounces off the rim. Some guy comes in. Put back dunk with 0.01 seconds left or 0 seconds left, whatever it was. Doesn't count. Tennessee wins by 7. South, if you took South Carolina, put back dunk. Didn't count. Didn't even review it because it was pointless. And they lost by 7 instead of 5. And that is my bad beat of the week. Someone take it off next because that shit sucks.
Yeah. I was watching the Utah State game, who were 3.5 point favorites against New Mexico. Credit to Utah State. We talked about him already. Darius Brown, big time. But I forget who was at the line. I think it was Jalen House. Attempted to miss the second free throw with 2.3 seconds left, obviously, as you do, to try to get a putback. Two-point game, and he missed everything. He
didn't hit the rim. That was crazy.
It's a violation. Like, that's the rule.
But the refs didn't call it.
The refs did not call it. The refs let it play as if it hit the rim. I mean, New Mexico ended up with the ball at some point on there. It was like a mad – it was a scramble. I don't know what they would have done if they put it up and scored if they would have called the violation. But I think they were scared because of the impending court storming, so they didn't stop the game to look at it and give the ball back to Utah State, who then would have had 2 free throws to go ahead and cover. So, yeah, if you had Utah State minus 3.5, just a wild circumstance, but you got hosed. Betting is bad. You can't, you know, you can't trust anything when you're betting.
Thank you for reminding me of that game.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Because I was like watching, I was screaming. I was like, that isn't allowed. And then all of the Utah State fans were on the court. And I was like, the game's not over. And
it's just
everyone just walked off.
It's the easiest call to make. It's like, did the ball hit the rim or not? It wasn't even close.
It was closer to the shot clock than the rim.
Yeah. Like, he was playing wall ball. And no whistles, nothing. Game ends. New Mexico covers, but also knocks themselves off the bubble. So it was a lose-lose for everyone involved.
Yep. Mike, bad beat of the week.
I made my game of the week last week, Boise State, San Diego State on Friday night. And true to my word, I got all riled up for the 10 p.m. Mountain West Hoops and absolute ref show took the game from the Aztecs. I don't know if anyone saw the phantom foul that they called at the end of the game. Guy didn't even hit him. Sends him to the line. Boise forces OT, and then they somehow win on the road in OT. There were only 12 points scored in the overtime period, which is also bullshit, I think. I don't even know what the over was. It probably hit, but...
Classic San Diego State, though.
Yeah. Frustrating, man. Tough weekend.
Very, very frustrating. All right. Bad beats. Tough, 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 tough. We do not endorse betting. We do not support betting. But if you do, hope to have some fun.
Do it responsibly.
Do it responsibly. It's the best way to do anything. It's all in moderation. But it is champ week now. We talked about the ASUN tournament. We've got those four teams in now. We've got more finals tomorrow. We've got big conference tournaments starting in a few days. We're going to have the Gonzaga St. Mary's hopeful rematch in a few days. But this is awesome. We've got conference tournament starting up 1 week from the bracket. And we are going to do a little deep dive today into all of the conference tournaments. We're going to mostly focus on the big ones, run through our overview, give some predictions about who we think, deep horse sleeper team to look out for, and have some fun with it. So, here we go. We are going to... I'm going to share my screen here, so we're all looking at the same stuff. But... here we go. Let's start off with the Big East tournament here. It is UConn, 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 and UConn here. They get an easy road in the top, pretty much. Xavier, Butler, St. John's, Seton Hall, they've run through all these teams recently. St. John's, I'm a little worried about if they get through, because I wouldn't really want to face St. John's technically at home in the Garden. That environment will be incredible with their kind of... If they beat Seton Hall, they're probably in the tournament, but that's that. Let's get out of the first four and move into the actual seed line. Otherwise, UConn runs through that top half of the bracket. When we look at the bottom half, Providence gets Georgetown. You got to win the game to even be relevant moving on. And the bottom half is where teams actually need to win. You have a St. John's Seton Hall in the top half in the 4-5 game. They're both pretty much safe, but a win kind of catapults you past that first four and keeps you, or last four in, and keeps you safe for the bid stealers. But the top half is pretty straightforward. Let's see, UConn. Bottom half is when teams got to win some games. 7-10, Providence, Georgetown. Providence has to beat Georgetown to be considered, and then they get Creighton. I was at UConn Providence last year, and Providence fans showed out for real. They brought the energy. They'll probably bring the energy again versus Creighton in a 2-7 matchup, and that'll be a fun game. But again, I think Creighton could run through this. Nova DePaul. Nova will run through DePaul.
I really like DePaul there. I think DePaul is a real sleeper this year.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's see. But
I hope DePaul wins.
Me too.
Right? That could be Kyle Neptune's job if they lose. But Nova should beat DePaul probably in like a 45-30 game, because it'd be miserable. Shout out to all those people staying at MSG until midnight. Then Nova Marquette, if Kolek's playing, I think Marquette will run right through that. And then I think the only really, really good game of this will be Marquette-Creighton, because two very evenly matched teams could go either way. And on neutral site, could, if Kolek's playing, it could be Pick'em, Marquette minus 1.5 maybe. And then either of those teams to go up against the Huskies. Home game pretty much for UConn. It'll be an awesome environment. And I don't know. Does anyone disagree that UConn can win this? Will win this outright? Without a question?
I would throw the house on UConn.
I mean, I don't know what the odds are, but they've got to be even money for UConn, if that.
Yeah.
If not, worth better.
Still a great bet.
I think, just to throw a long shot out there, if St. John's can somehow beat UConn, I think they would win the entire thing. And I think they can.
And also, dark horse-wise, Mike, you're not going to like this, but I think Villanova can be a dark horse.
They got to get through DePaul first.
Yeah, let's worry about DePaul before.
That's been tough all year.
Before a sleeper.
Kyle Neptune can't get out of his own way. I would not look past DePaul.
Yeah. But anyways, should be fun. MSG, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be fun. I'll hopefully be at a game or two. We're going to have some fun in New York. That is the Big East tournament for you. Moving on, the Big 12. Matthew Stern, take it away.
The best conference in the country. I mean, what more could you possibly ask for? You've got what? How many top 25 teams? Four top 25 teams? Six?
Yep, but you've got nine tournament teams, so.
Yeah, I mean, you've got six top 25 teams. You've got nine tournament teams. You've got unbelievable matchups starting from as early as day two, where you could get, you know, I understand they're not great. I understand they're not, you know, the best team in the country, but I would not sleep on Cincinnati to win a couple of games. They've competed all year. Kansas is struggling. And I think that, you know, they should get it past West Virginia, who is atrocious. And I think Cincinnati can give Kansas a game. Are they likely to win? No. Could they win? Yeah. And then you look more towards the top, and you've got BYU, who should beat either Oklahoma State or UCF pretty easily, because
UCF took BYU to the wire this week, though. So
I know, but like, neither of those teams can really score, and BYU can really fill it up. So
yep.
And then you move down the bracket a little bit. You've got in my mind, just an absolute fraud off between Kansas State and Texas, almost as big of a fraud off as FAU and Memphis from this past weekend. Like, all of those teams are just going collectively nowhere. Kaplan, your Texas for the national championship pick was something else.
We'll see.
And Oklahoma TCU in the battle of who can't shoot with an opportunity to lose by 50 versus Houston. So, you know, yep. I think that, you know, this one, obviously Kansas is a dark horse and you don't know if they can turn it around. They're not playing well, but if they do, obviously you can't count them out. But for all of our money and just the way that they're playing and just how you got to go play your absolute perfect game, Houston's got to be the favorite here. You know, I mean, like, Texas Tech is not that good. You know, BYU could maybe give them a game, and then you hope that Iowa State and Baylor and Kansas beat each other up. You know, I think that it sounds kind of chalky, but Houston is not a bad bet. Houston is really, really fucking good. They're really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at the bracket right here, the top half is just Houston's thrown away with, and the bottom is
a dogfight.
A dogfight. Because, right, Kansas State, it's in Kansas City, so they're terrible, but it's close to home. Texas, Iowa State, like, these teams, as you said, beat each other up. And go see who plays Houston. Any other predictions?
I wouldn't count out Baylor. I think they're the second best team in this conference. I don't think Iowa State's very good. I think their young guards have gotten better. I think, you know, Misi is really good, and Walter, and they've, you know, become really good players. I think that's a team that is Final Four quality. I don't know if they'll make it there. I think Baylor is really fucking good. If I was Houston, that's who I would not want to see in the finals.
Also, I would just like to chime in, since we're all Colgate guys, that Lehigh is within 4 BU, so the winner of that will play Colgate on Wednesday in the Patriot League final. Should be a good ending.
Hell yeah. My pick of the day was Lehigh, so let's close that one up. All right, moving on to everyone's favorite conference to probably everyone's least favorite conference in the ACC. Mr. Mike, take it away.
I think Syracuse is an automatic lock to win this tournament. I'm just putting that
out. Shut the fuck up, Sturt.
Okay, Judah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know everyone hates the ACC until it comes tournament time, but I do think this is a sorry year for the conference. If you look at Boston College, Louisville, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, even FSU, maybe you have some of the worst teams ever to step on a basketball court. But I will say, you have, I mean, Pitt, okay, but you have Clemson, Syracuse, and Wake Forest in the middle of the pack. No doubt in my mind, one of them can knock off Duke or UNC or both. I think the one thing that we need to happen is for Virginia to get fucking smoked by Clemson, and Joe Lenardi can finally take them out of his last four in, where they eternally have been for some reason.
You would think Tony Bennett banged his wife with how much Joe Lenardi loves Virginia. They're so bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They actually make Villanova look like good basketball. If you ever watch a Virginia game, it's horrible.
All right, let's hear this. Nova UVA in a first four, last four in game. Give me a final score.
Over under 66.5.
Yeah.
Because that would be – I might not watch it, even though I love these games, a little Tuesday night basketball, but UVA Nova, I just might not watch it.
Yeah, that's just a sadistic game.
Sadistic. Yeah, so moral of the story in the ACC, we want either Wake, Syracuse, or Clemson to make some noise and maybe get themselves – I think Clemson will be in, right? But Clemson's the other ones, maybe not. Yeah.
Speaking of Clemson, they might have pulled the best thing ever yesterday, losing to Wake Forest. They played each other. Wake Forest beat Clemson. Wake Forest went to the 5 line. They now have to go through Pitt, UNC, and that whole top of the bracket. And Clemson lost and is now the 6 seed and has to go through UVA and Duke.
Also, Clemson, I think, I don't understand where it's coming from. I think they're the biggest frauds ever. They're a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament right now. They're a 6 seed in the fucking ACC tournament. They're horrible.
ACC is a powerhouse. Give them a break. They have a gauntlet of a schedule all year.
They're between Syracuse and Wake Forest. Like, I mean, I don't know how these guys are slotting in as a 5 seed right now. I think that's horrible.
If you as a 5 seed, that's the number one team everyone's 12 seed is going against. Put McNeese against Clemson, and yeah, you're probably.
And the way it works is Clemson will find a way to win that game, and the ACC coaches will be like, oh, look at us, we're like fantastic in March, and everyone hates us, but like, no, this conference sucks. They're horrible.
Sucks.
Mike, how much money would I have to give you to sit down and watch the entirety of Notre Dame Georgia Tech?
Zero. I mean,
I will say Notre Dame has some good young players. They suck this year, but they have some good young players. They're not terrible.
Yeah, Burton might be freshman of the year in the conference.
Yeah, he's good. He's got better. Georgia Tech, they're horrible. They got bowl raced by Virginia yesterday. I think they let Virginia score 70, which is like, you know, a crime.
Mike, who do you got winning and any sleeper team?
Give me Duke to make a statement or Wake Forest knocking off UNC and then beating whoever comes out of the other side. Duke or Wake Forest.
All right. Sounds good.
That didn't say Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean.
Syracuse should have been Steelers.
Absolutely not. But Buddy Boeheim isn't walking through that door anytime soon. So no.
Hey, Clemson is Joe Girard. So there's your Syracuse guy.
He's such an asshole. I remember I was at a Syracuse game once, sitting behind like a couple kids that were like boys with him, and they're like, Joe Girard's the biggest fucking asshole in the entire world.
For sure.
I was like, that is so feasible. Like, I could totally see that.
Yeah, just looks like a prick. All right, now to just the most chaotic conference there is in the SEC. Oh. You're going to have some games that are ending 55-50. You're going to have other games that are 105-100. It's going to be chaos all week long in Nashville, Tennessee. Fun city. You're going to be partying with all these teams the second they lose. So let's run through this bracket real quick. Stern wants me to give kind of the rundown of Tennessee and just slob on them. So, all right, Mississippi State, LSU. I don't know how Mississippi State's the 9 seed. They're falling. If they lose to LSU, then I'd be worried because they're right on the bubble then. But they should win. Let's see Tennessee run through this. South Carolina, Auburn, Arkansas, Vandy. They're all absolutely terrible. If you want like the most sleeper team there is, let's see Arkansas run through it. But it's not going to happen. Tennessee should run through the top of this conference, top of this bracket. I don't think any of those other teams are very good. Moving down to the bottom, the most fun game I would look forward to in two terrible teams would be maybe like a Florida-Bama early on, but the rest of them suck. Ole Miss-Texas A&M is just the battle of two teams that were great and are now terrible. Whoever wins that, I think actually maybe gives Kentucky a run for it. But at the end of the day, I think if I had to pick my final four here, it would be Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, and Florida with us getting a rematch of Tennessee-Kentucky at the end. That would really be like the most fun tournament to watch. If you want a sleeper team, I would go Texas A&M because Ole Miss is terrible. And then if they could get past that Kentucky game, they might be pick 'em against an Alabama team. So, but realistically, let's go see Kentucky, Tennessee again. And Kentucky's got the talent to pull away, but Dalton connects there, and Tennessee's awesome. So,
are you telling me you don't like Ole Miss? Are you telling me that?
I mean, I would love to see a toilet bowl tournament of like Missouri, who's never won a game. DePaul, who's never won a game, Georgetown, Louisville. Like, take the worst team from every conference and just let them play against each other. Could be fun. And take half the SEC with them.
And DePaul would still lose.
Yeah, maybe. Missouri's right there with them. They imagine.
Stern.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just want to hear Stern talk a little bit about Alabama, one of his favorite teams.
Ever since I was like, I think this team could beat UConn, they've turned into IUPUI. They're actually awful. Like, what do they do? They practice. They don't play defense. They what do they do every week?
Shoot.
Shoot what?
Ah.
They've been able to shoot in a month.
Shoot.
Well, they lost Brandon Miller and that other guy. So
you want to talk about a good shooter? No pun intended.
Yeah, that's some real shooting. Yeah, Darius Miles. He's probably shooting up in the prison courts right now. So
didn't you just ask in our group chat the other day how you thought he was doing in prison?
I hope he's doing well. 25 points a game in the prison league.
No, but like actually though, Alabama since that game against Kentucky, yeah, that Kentucky game where Kentucky dropped 120, have literally looked like DePaul ever since. Like I get they beat Arkansas in overtime, but
they should watch that.
At home, like you should not.
And they
be
had
going.
To hit a game tying three.
As 16 point favorites, you should not be going to fucking overtime with the Arkansas team that has had their own fair share of controversy this year off the court. But
yeah,
you know,
a little love triangle with their own players. It's never.
But good. Like, come on, man! Jesus Christ, Alabama! Oh my God, fade in the tournament. Huge fade in the tournament.
I mean, if there was a college basketball reality show around a conference, this would be the one.
This is the one. No
you have
doubt
Coach Cal, you have shooters on Bama, you have – I don't even know how to describe Arkansas's team. You got Chris Beard back. I mean, this is an electric conference.
This is electric.
It's just they're not that good at basketball.
Zach, when you run through the Pac-12 here, can you talk in like a Bill Walton tone of voice and like give us like some Bill Waltonisms to just describe each game?
Well, what I'll tell you is the team I'm looking forward to are the Buffaloes. Also looking at the Huskies, woof woof. But not actually. Bill Walton had his last call. Love the guy. I think he's the only person that can make Pac-12 basketball entertaining. You know, a little quack quack here and there. Talking about Maui and volcanoes and his acid trips back in the 90s. One time he put up a Jerry Garcia, like there was a backboard in some park in the middle of LA, and he like found Jerry Garcia's face on there and they put it on ESPN. But, you know, with realignment, he's done. But hell of a career from Bill Walton. Love that guy. Pac-12 tournament. Something I think the major storyline is that USC and UCLA have started playing good ball. These were two really bad teams at the beginning of the year. UCLA couldn't score. USC had like a really long period of struggle when they couldn't have Ellis Collier on the court at the same time. And now they do, and they're playing a bit better. So if there's a dark horse, USC is one of them. They just beat Arizona, so they'll get a rematch there. Stanford, Cal, that, I mean, those teams could be relegated to the WCC.
At least we got a rivalry game.
Yeah, rivalry game. It's awesome. I am hoping that I'm not going to know the name of the Stanford interim head coach by the time that game tips off. But, you know, if Haas is still there, that'll be his last game if they lose. Washington State. I'm not sold on Washington State. They've worked their way up into a strong seed in the tournament. The metrics don't favor them. Miles Rice is incredible, but they're, I think, a middle of the pack Pac-12 team. They just had a very good run in conference. Colorado, with two wins, would wrap up a bid, which I think they deserve. I think Colorado is, you know, a very good team. Utah's dead. Everyone else is dead. The story of this tournament is, can Colorado do enough to get a bid? And then will there be a bid stealer? And there could be a bid stealer because there's only two or three teams with bids. So it's highly possible you're going to have Oregon, UCLA in the semis, one of those two teams that could steal a bid. But yeah, not great basketball. Pac-12 does tend to overperform in the tournament. I don't know what that is. So look out
can
for
we just
Colorado.
Can we just talk about Arizona State for a second? I know that they have no chance in this tournament. Last night, the fact that the Hurley name is associated with that team is like a disgrace to that team. Like they are, and I mean this respectfully, they might be the dumbest collective IQ team in the country. Like, is that a hot take? Yes or no?
I mean, it's Arizona State.
I understand that like the GPA isn't a lot to get in there, but like just in terms of quality of basketball, are they the dumbest team in the country?
Yeah, no, they're up there. They're really bad. They're a really bad basketball team.
You when you watch them, or like if you were to ever bet on them, you have to factor in at least one to two technicals, like one by Hurley, one by the team, just for like absolutely no reason.
Oh, it's the game where they had eight. Who did they lose to where they had eight technical fouls?
Like,
I remember that.
I think
they're
it
just
was
a cartoon.
UCLA.
They're just a complete. They're just a cartoon. They're just.
I think they set the record.
Send them and DePaul to play each other in a best of seven series. Winner goes to D2.
Yeah,
like come on.
Add them to the toilet bowl tournament.
Sorry, I just I felt the need to.
I do have a serious basketball question though. Because we have 3 1 seeds locked up right now, and now we're running through. There's three other teams that I think are in play for that 4th 1 seed, which is Tennessee, who lost yesterday, Arizona, who lost yesterday, and UNC, who lost yesterday.
UNC won yesterday.
Sorry, UNC won yesterday. Apologies. UNC won yesterday. So now, like, UNC was definitely below Tennessee and Arizona, but can you guys rank those three teams as a basketball team, and then resume-wise, who you think should get the 1 seed? Because I think they're two separate questions.
Yeah, I mean, resume-wise, I think right now it's Tennessee, UNC, Arizona. I think Arizona losing to USC killed any chance they had of getting the 4th 1 seed. I think they're kind of out of it. If UNC wins the tournament and Tennessee doesn't, I think UNC will have it, and then if they both win the tournament, I think it'll be Tennessee. And I think if they both lose, it'll also be Tennessee. Basketball-wise, I would say Arizona, Tennessee, UNC. And that might be Pac-12 homer bias, but I think Arizona is good enough to have a deep run. I think Caleb Love is usually the best player on the court. You see what happens when he sucks like he did last night. But they have Ballo on the inside, who's good. They still have shooters and Larson. Kylan Boswell is really good. They're good enough to make a run. I think Tennessee, I've watched their offense and I love their offense because it's just connect shooting and then everyone crashing the boards and it's a lot of fun. But they can get got like they did against Kentucky. And in fairness to UNC, I haven't watched much of the ACC and I think that's validated. But I'm interested to hear what other people might think.
I'll just say, I'm not that good with the resumes. I don't know them that well. But basketball-wise, I think you're insane if you don't think the UNC is the best of those three teams.
They are.
I mean, watch UNC play. They're experienced. They're deep. And this might sound strange, but they're hungry because they were so fucking bad last year. Like, they take it two teams. I think they can play
the boy
with
from
the top
Stanford's
teams.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Harrison Ingram and Cormack.
Yeah.
Plus, that, and they're not the two stars. Those are two good glue guys to have. Plus, Elliot Cadeau is a good freshman. I think UNC, after that win at Duke, is now up there, and then I'd go Tennessee and Arizona. I'll be honest. Like, Arizona has a good non-conference. They played a ton of teams. They beat Duke on the road. They won at Michigan. They beat Michigan State, which doesn't mean much. They beat Colgate. Hey. They beat Wisco. They lost to Purdue in Indianapolis. They beat Bama, and then they lost that game to FAU in double overtime. So they're battle-tested, but I think the Pac-12, sorry, and they haven't played a real team.
I also, back to the two Stanford guys on UNC, I'm pretty sure if you took, like, the roster that Stanford has and just threw, like, Indiana jerseys on them, they'd be a 4 seed this year. So that, you know, doesn't mean much.
You really hate Stanford.
It's so bad. They've Reynaud could be a pro. Kenny Carlisle is going to be a pro. They have Peja Stojakovic's son. They have Brandon Angel, who's the highest 3-point percentage of a forward in college basketball this year. They have Spencer Jones, who's like their 8th all-time leading scorer, and they suck. They got Jared Bynum, who was the Big East Sixth Man of the Year last year, and they suck. Like, that shouldn't happen. But
they don't play defense. They don't believe in defense.
I know. It doesn't make sense. And they have a 7-footer on the inside. Like, I won't talk about them because they're irrelevant now. Thank God. But yeah, extremely frustrating.
All right. Enough of the Pac-12 because That's will probably be the conference tournament I watch the least of this week. But moving on, Mountain West, let's round it out with the best conference in college basketball, some might say. Zach, let's hear it.
Yeah, Mountain West, I think, is a great tournament because every game will be like a 2.5, 3.5 point spread once the shitty teams are out. I think Utah State has a big advantage because they have a cakewalk into the third round of the tournament, because Wyoming and Fresno State are both ass. UNLV San Diego State's a really interesting game. One of the hottest teams against a stumbling team. I do think San Diego State, like, this is their time to figure it out. They have played tournament games before. As Stern said, they don't have a point guard, but I think they'll figure it out. I would still think San Diego State is the favorite to win the tournament, even though they're fifth in the conference. And then Nevada, Colorado State. Colorado State is slipping. They're headed towards the bubble. So Colorado State will have to beat San Jose State, obviously, which they will. That's another ass team. And then if Colorado State can beat Nevada, that win should lock them in.
I think they're safe, though. Unless they lose to San Jose State, get them out of there. But I think
right.
I know loss to Nevada doesn't do much negatively.
Yeah. And then New Mexico is the big one. Air Force beat them last time out. Air Force, I actually think Air Force is better than like Fresno, Wyoming, San Jose State, just like a little bit. I don't know, maybe it's because they're cadets or whatever you call them in Air Force. If New Mexico loses that game, they're dead. If they lose the game to Boise, they're probably dead. They need at least 2, maybe 3 wins to get back in, and I don't know if they're good enough to do that. I think Boise State is just better than New Mexico. But the fun part of this tournament is UNLV trying to steal a bid. New Mexico
UNLV is really fun to watch. They're not going to win, but they're really fun.
Hey.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they have the toughest path because they got San Diego State and Utah State. But
I'd rather see anyone else for them. But, yeah.
It'll be fun. This will be
just good basketball. Like, this is – you have UNLV, San Diego State is 1. Nevada, Colorado State is 2. Boise State, New Mexico will be 3. And then – those are your quarters, so that's 3 games, and then your semis, 2 games, your finals. You have 6 games of, like, really good. You don't know who's going to win basketball, so I think it'll be a fun tournament to watch.
Yeah, that'll be a fun, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of bad beats out of it. We touched on some bubble teams throughout this, some teams that needed wins, but I want to address one bubble team of a game that took place today. Drake, Indiana State, which was – Drake was up 20 at one point in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. These two teams are really interesting. They didn't really play anyone before that. Drake ended up blowing the 20-point lead that they had. Indiana State came all the way back, tied it up, and then Drake pulled away at the end and took a bid. They're probably looking at 12 seed, I would say, and I would not want to face them one bit as a 5 seed. If you're Clemson and you're facing Drake, do not want it. But Indiana State now, 26 in the net. No great wins outside of Drake. One bad loss against Illinois State. Another not terrible loss against SIU. But someone walk me through the bubble category of where does Indiana State go now? Like, do they deserve to be it? Would you prefer them over a team like New Mexico or Nova? Or how do you compare
Texas
a team like
A&M?
But like, how do you compare a team like Nova, who has a UNC, Texas A&M, and teams like they have a few quad one wins versus a team like Indiana State who has a bunch of wins but no quality wins. Zach, you're the mid-major guru, so I'll lean towards you.
For that one. I think, well, first of all, for the case of a two-bid league, it is better that Indiana State lost, because your argument for them is they're 26 in the net. Net probably won't decrease much after this. I think Drake is top 50, so I think this is actually a Q1 loss for them, which isn't terrible. But 1-4 against Q1 is bad. They had 2 shots against Michigan State and Bama to get those wins, and they didn't. I think, you know, 5-5 Q1 and Q2 is better than some other teams that are sitting on the bubble 500. The volume's not there, but you don't have that volume playing in the Missouri Valley Conference, so it's not really fair. I think they, if I was making the bracket, they'd be in the tournament. Obviously, I'm not. So it'll come down to if the selection committee wants, you know, a Wake team that's played a little bit better, you know, it could improve their metrics in the tournament, and a New Mexico team that could get a couple of wins. But just running through these tournaments, the bubble teams don't have easy paths, and the bubble teams aren't very good. And then it'll also come down to A10 and American. I think FAU is locked for the tournament now by beating Memphis. So if they win that conference tournament, that'll open up another spot. And then if Dayton wins the A10 tournament, that'll open up another spot. And then I think you would likely see Indiana State get in. I think the lowest team that's ever been left out of the field within that ranking is like somewhere in the low 30s. And so I think Indiana State should get in with a 26 net if with a light bubble this year. So yeah, I think there's a case to be made. I don't know what the committee will do. I would like to see them, and I think they're better than the other bubble teams or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're legit. They play fast. They play fun. I would like to see them in it. So, see you next weekend. Mike, I think you got something for us.
Yeah, so we had some fan mail. We had some people writing in, asking questions. And by people, I mean Jack Kofed specifically. Shout out to Kofed. Good guy. Tough native. So, yeah, I mean, moving forward, if you have anything that you want answered, I would say probably the best way would be to DM it to the Instagram, and I'll monitor.
And, at Straight Shooters Pod.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll get you some answers for your burning questions. First question from Kofed. Love it. Top five most hated teams in college basketball. One, UNC, no question. Thank you, Cormac Ryan, for reminding everyone that they're the biggest scumbags to ever live. BYU, Creighton, Gonzaga, and, of course, Virginia. These may be hot takes. I'll tell you, BYU plays the worst basketball ever. They think you can win with four or five white guys on the court. You can't. It's been empirically proven. It's the worst way to play basketball. Creighton, scumbags. They kill me every year. They will continue to. Gonzaga thinks that they're the greatest team ever because they play out on the West Coast where no one's good. But routinely we watch them. They do well in the tournament, and then they lose. Always. And I think Virginia speaks for themselves. I actually don't hate Tony Bennett, but the way that he coaches basketball, or the basketball that he puts out on the court, no one should be forced to watch that. I mean, I'm talking Guantanamo Bay, prisoners of war. I would not make them watch Virginia games. It's truly terrible. Anyone else have some hated teams that I've neglected to mention?
Yeah, well, Mike, you actually named that you hated three teams that I really like. So, you know, don't know how to handle that, but I mean, I like Gonzaga, Creighton, and BYU. I don't know what that says about me, considering your criticism of BYU is that they're too white. But at least their best player is black.
He is tough. I will say that. I love the way he plays.
Yeah. I mean, are we just not – you could mention UNC, but you're not going to say Duke. I mean, Duke might be the most hated team in college basketball history, just every single year.
BU just came all the way back from down 8 with 3 minutes. They took the lead. Wow.
Should be fun.
Patriot League, baby.
Good stuff. Any other questions from John Jack Kofed?
Yeah. We got two more. Kofed asks, any coaching wisdom to offer teams in the tournament? I think my one answer to this, and this is very true watching Kyle Neptune. I'll get off Kyle. But the one thing to keep in mind is that at least 75% of coaching happens outside of the game period. So, like, you really start coaching in the summer and then the fall, and then you get into gameplay and, you know, you fix things in lineups and such. But let your guys go out and play.
pick a rotation, stick to it. You subbing out guys and subbing in is not going to help anyone. Manage the clock, manage foul trouble, but let the boys play. That's what March is for. And then last question, which I'll open up to the group, is we don't know who's going to win the conference tournaments yet, but which conference champion do you think is most likely to pull off a first round upset? So we're looking at, you know, some of the outside conferences here. I'll start by just saying the Ivy League, it's going to be Princeton or Cornell most likely. And I think Princeton's way better than Cornell, but either of those teams, I mean, Princeton did it last year, right? Either of those teams, they play really weird basketball, and I don't think that that's someone that you would necessarily want to see in the first round as, you know, a 14 or 15.
Yeah, I'll say the winner of the Sun Belt Conference, which is looking like App State or James Madison. James Madison knocked off Michigan State before, probably sitting, either of those teams are probably sitting probably low 12, high 13 seed. I would not want to face either of those teams rolling in hot into March Madness. So be on the lookout. That'd be an early upset for me.
Yeah, I think Drake can actually go a couple of rounds. I think they're a 16 team. Tucker DeVry is the best player on the court. And they have everything. I think they would be an elite 12 seed and not someone you want to play. And also shout out Grand Canyon.
All right, I want to round this out and say thank you first off, Mike. There's a new segment called Shoot Your Shot with Mike. So whether you have fan mail, hit us up on Instagram, at Straight Shooters Pod. Ask some questions, say hi to Mike. He's pretty cute, so you just want to say a little hello. So hit us up, ask some questions, we'll get those answered in our Shoot Your Shot with Mike segment. But to round us out today, we could give you Monday locks, but there aren't many games set in stone right now. What I want to do is, instead of looking at a game of the week we're excited for, I want the conference tournament that you're most excited to watch, game in, game out, 2 p.m. at work to midnight, 12:30, San Francisco, Portland basketball. Mike, I'll pass it over to you first. Give me your conference tournament you are most looking forward to this week. Hit me.
One conference we didn't mention earlier, I believe, is the West Coast Conference. Very interested to see what happens out there with St. Mary's, Gonzaga, and San Francisco. I mean, quite honestly, I want San Francisco to win just because I think it would be hilarious. But those games are always mayhem.
Mayhem. A little late night action.
There's already been a 50-point game in that conference.
Yeah. All I know is...
Lehigh! Oh, he picked the layup!
What happened? Hit me with it.
Lehigh picked the layup.
24 seconds left. Lehigh down one. BU has the ball, so they need to get it in to shoot free throws. And obviously college kids, especially in the Patriot, they've never seen a press, so they throw it right to the Lehigh guy. Wide open layup, and he just completely bricks it. But I think the ball went out on BU here. Where'd they rule? Yeah, out on BU. So Lehigh ball, 22 seconds left, down one.
All right. I hope our fans out there are watching the end of this madness.
I know my brother is. That's for sure.
It's true. The twin brother, Matt Stern, went to Lehigh. So maybe a little Lehigh-Colgate twin rivalry action on Wednesday night. I'll say it. I'm a Colgate fan here. Wednesday night, Lehigh, Colgate, or BU Colgate. Students will be back from spring break. The place will be rocking. Let's see some Patriot League basketball for whoever to get a 15 seed and lose by 60 in the first round. But I'll throw that aside. Give me the Big 12. I want to see dogfight after dogfight, period. Zach?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the SEC. I just think there's like so much comedy and drama, and like maybe a little bit of good basketball here and there. I tuning into, you know, Mississippi State and Texas A&M or whoever they're drawn against on a Wednesday, where it's just electric.
And Matthew, round us out. Conference tournament you're most looking forward to?
It's already started, but I really am looking forward to the hopefully Gonzaga St. Mary's rematch in the WCC final. It's always really intense. They always go back and forth. It's always a great game. So I would say that one.
All right. Two people in the West Coast Conference. That's fun. All right. It has been a pleasure to be here with you all. Again, give us a shout out on Instagram at Straight Shooters Pod. Next week, we'll be with you with a full bracket. We'll give you the rundown. We'll go matchup by matchup. We'll have some fun with it. Enjoy this week, whether 2 p.m. at work, tell your manager, block off your calendar. You have an excuse to not go to class. If you don't do your law school assignment, like, it's champ week. So enjoy it. Take some time. Block off some calendars. It'll be fun. And we'll have a bracket soon enough. So, yeah. It's been a pleasure to be with you all here. Have a great week. It's champ week. Enjoy it. Always remember, live your life one media time out at a time. See you all later.